Chapter 4. Or at least an apprentice to one. Magician Prath had started to teach her rudimentary spells that first day, and now, a week after her bonding, she had 5 under her belt. An empty breakfast tray sat near the door of her workspace. Mr. Hemsley always brought food out to the Plimmery now, since Alvy didn't want to waste time dining when she had magic to discover. It was Mr. Hemsley and not Emma who did the errands, for he was the only servant entrusted with a key to the Plimmery. For an openly, friendly man, Magician Praff was private about his work, but Alvy understood his reasons. Still, she'd rather have Emma venturing out to the Plimmery. Mr. Hemsley was one of the grumpiest men she'd ever met. Alvy took a flat square of off-white plastic, tested its give, and savored the faint tingle it emitted under her fingers, reminding her of the new magic coursing through her capillaries. Magician Praff had given her dozens of these squares to practice with, all with different levels of flexibility. Some snapped right back after she bent them in half, others broke apart like peanut brittle, and still others were so flimsy they'd bunch up and stick to themselves. She eyed the apple sitting in front of her, saved from yesterday's lunch tray. She rested the plastic square, which had an area of about 64 square centimeters, atop its stem. The stems were the tricky part, she'd learned. "Soften," she commanded, and the plastic gained flexibility. She wiggled it a little as she centered it on the apple, waiting for the dent of the stem to appear before speaking the next word. "Melt," she said, and the plastic warmed beneath her touch. Had she warmed it over a fire or electric bulb, it would have burned her, as Magician Praff had so kindly demonstrated on her second day as his official apprentice. But the magic didn't hurt her. She imagined it was the same for pyres, who wielded fireballs and made flames dance in elaborate shows of non-industrialism. Granted, the warm plastic was nowhere near the temperature of a flame. As the plastic drooped down the sides of the red apple, Alvy pulled her left hand away and scooped up the fruit, turning it slightly to help the plastic cover it. The encompass spell danced on her tongue, but if the ends of the melted plastic couldn't see each other, they wouldn't merge completely, and she'd have another botched vacuum form. So she waited, watching the plastic slowly dribble down the sides of the fruit. "Encompass," she commanded, and the melting plastic lurched forward to join itself. "Conform," and it sucked in close to the apple, as though she'd stuck a straw in its core and was sucking with all her might. "Harden." The plastic turned hard once more. In her hand, she held a plastic-coated apple. The polymer hugged all its contours, though the very tip of the stem poked out from the plastic. Almost perfect. Almost. She tossed the apple into a growing pile of vacuum-formed fruit near the window. "It's looking well." Alvy started and slammed her knee into the edge of her desk. Biting down on a curse, she turned toward the door and Magician Praff standing in its doorway. "I apologize for startling you." No, it's fine." She eyed her plastic fruit pile. He followed her gaze. "No worries, you'll get it. If nothing else, they're well preserved." A smile touched Alvy's lips. "It's a slow-going magic." Magician Praff stepped into the narrow room and folded his arms across his chest. "Not as slow as smelting, of course, but not nearly as quick as folding, pyring, or even gaffing. The spells drag out and take a good deal of practice to correct." "I'll correct them." By tonight, she would get the small-scale vacuum form right, and then Magician Praff would teach her something else. Her blood tingled at the prospect. "Then we'll move on to molds and plastic preparations. Every good polymaker can process his or her own monomers. I'll deliver some reading to you this afternoon on that, but I came here to discuss your volunteer hours." Alvy turned in her chair. "Volunteer hours?" "A requirement for all of my apprentices." He held up 2 hands as though she had objected. "I know it's not standard, but volunteering keeps a person humble, and we can use a lot more of that in this world." He paused. "Or at the very least, it forces them to leave the Plimmery." "Ah." Alvy scratched the back of her neck. Since the bonding, she'd spent more time in the plimmery than the house, thus the breakfast trays. Did you have many self-absorbed apprentices? She wasn't self-absorbed, was she? Not really, no, but I met a folder once who was as full of himself as a man could be, which gave me the idea. I require my apprentices to donate a minimum of 2 hours a week, and I can help with the arrangements. There's the poorhouses, food banks, hospitals, elderly homes, schools. I don't know if you have a preference. Could I be a chauffeur? Magician Praff blinked. I don't think so. Why ever would you want that? Alvy shrugged. I know how to work an automobile. Really? America must be full of opportunity. She smiled. I wouldn't mind the hospital, sir. Once, while trying to construct a motor for a school project, she'd nearly sliced off her finger with a micro saw and had to go to the hospital. The staff there had been awfully friendly, and everything was so tidy. Magician Praff rubbed his hands together. Excellent. I'll see about getting you set up. Also, I'd like you to dine with the family tonight at 7. We haven't seen much of you, and we're expecting my daughter and her husband. Emma should have a dress prepared for you. A dress. Mrs. Praff took the liberty of ordering a few things. He chuckled as though embarrassed. You'll have to forgive her meddling. She is very curious about you. Perhaps because I've never had a female apprentice, and she enjoys feminine company. Alvy nodded slowly. All right. 7 it is. Magician Praff nodded and turned for the door. I recommend leaving the preliminary by 5. So early. He smiled and left. Well, it's not the smartest thing, Alvy said, turning in front of her mirror. I think you look quite smart. Emma adjusted the gold belt around Alvy's waist. You look like a lady. Alvy sighed. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it wasn't a fine dress. Emma patted her shoulder. And I didn't mean to say you weren't ladylike. Just I've never seen someone wear pants the way you do. Your work would be a lot easier with him. You should try it. Emma laughed. I doubt Mrs. Conway would approve the change in uniform, she said, naming the housekeeper. Alvy studied her reflection. It was a fine dress, and her figure looked good in it. The gown was a gauzy light maroon over black, with gold embroidery about the hem and collar. Bits of material hung off the sleeves for a more ethereal effect, Alvy supposed. What a bother to dress up for dinner. What if she spilled food on it? You should wear it when Mr. Lucas Praff comes home from Japan. Maybe you'll catch his eye, Emma teased. Alvy snorted and adjusted her glasses. I doubt that's a possibility. What do you mean? Alvy just shrugged and stared at the mirror, took her glasses off and squinted. But without them, she couldn't make out her face well at all. She slipped the things back on and sat at the desk vanity, tolerating Emma's handiwork and serums for her hair for about 10 minutes. The Praffs' main dining room was large, and they had a considerable table to fill it, though there were only 5 of them seated at one of its ends. Footmen brought around trays of tarts and fancy vegetables, and Alvy had to watch the others to figure out how she was supposed to serve herself. She did, indeed, drop a piece of pheasant on her skirt, but she thought no one noticed. So, Mrs. Breckenmacher, chimed Mrs. Martha Peel, Magician Praff's newly married daughter, tell me about your family. Alvy had food in her mouth and stopped chewing, trying to decide if she was to spit it out, talk over it, or swallow. She chewed very quickly and swallowed with a sip of wine, but felt the silence stretched just a little too long. It's just me and my parents. We live in Columbus. That's New York, Mr. Peel answered. Ohio. Alvy nodded. Yes, Ohio. Oh, Mrs. Peel laughed, though Alvy wasn't sure what was funny. And is your father a magician? No. Mrs. Peel nodded, like that was a splendid place to end the conversation, and returned to her pheasant. Alvy turned to Magician Praff. I've noticed you don't have any electric lights in your home. Electric lights were cheaper than magical ones, at least in the States. Mrs. Praff answered, I prefer the luminance of enchanted lights, and Magician Praff humors me. She touched her lips with a napkin. Technology is the uneducated man's magic, and I do mean to do Briar Hall justice. Oh, I disagree, Alvy said, and both the Peels ceased their eating. Technology requires a great deal of education, possibly even more than the magical arts, or at least a different kind of learning. Mrs. Pratt settled her hands on her lap. A different kind of learning, certainly. It would take a different kind to develop a technology gaffers and pyres have been perfecting for centuries. Alvy's stomach tightened, as did her shoulders. Are you familiar with the Jefferson School of Material Mechanics, Mrs. Pratt? Mrs. Pratt hesitated, perhaps thrown by the change of subject. I am, though more so with the Pratt School. Then you're aware the tuition is incredibly expensive, some $12,000 a year, or whatever that is in pounds. In the States, the government subsidized a large percentage of the tuition for immigrants or those willing to move out west. Alvy had not qualified for the subsidies, nor had she been granted any scholarships. Mrs. Pratt nodded. I was able to attend on the fortune my father made by developing the very technology you seem to think redundant. Not everyone can afford a gaffer light, and the light bulb can illuminate places where no magician has ever stood. That technology is the very reason I'm here. Mrs. Pratt blushed just a little, or perhaps that was a trick of the magical lighting. I didn't realize. You're very eloquent tonight, Alvy, Magician Pratt said, and Alvy realized she'd said too much, or perhaps said it the wrong way. She'd never excelled at judging conversation. Her gaze dropped to the table. Perhaps she'd been too forward. After all, she barely knew these people. She finished her meal in silence. Alvy went to the Polymery early the next morning, eager to break away from the house and dive into her work. She was to get a new lesson today, best to be prepared. After tucking herself away into her small workspace, Alvy vacuum-formed a pencil and turned to the reading Magician Pratt had given her. Chemical Binding of Monomers was a dry book, and one that had not been written specifically for polymakers, but it certainly had its interesting moments. Alvy turned a page and studied a diagram there. Perhaps she could write an updated book specifically for plastic magicians once she officially became one. The Basics of Polymerization for Polymakers, Volumes 1 and 2. The thought made her smile. A soft knock sounded at the door, and Mr. Hemsley opened it. He balanced a breakfast tray in his free hand. Yet another one. Thank you. Alvy offered him a smile before taking the tray and setting it beside her. Mr. Hemsley left with a muted sigh. She turned back to her book. Retrieving a piece of paper and melting the plastic from her pencil, she drew the outline of the diagram herself to learn it better. The scents of cinnamon, apples, and eggs, however, drew her attention to the tray. Pushing her work aside, Alvy pulled the tray over and picked up the fork, only to notice a copy of Discovery Today tucked under her plate. She slipped the magazine out and studied its cover. It boasted an image of a skeleton, very much like the one in the Polymery's foyer, only made of paper. Intriguing. Alvy flipped through the pages, wondering if Mr. Hemsley had picked up the magazine for her, or if Magician Pratt had sent it along. Likely the latter. Alvy read the article about electricity and the one on telephones, as well as an advertisement for the annual Discovery in Material Mechanics Convention. Alvy stared at the print, mesmerized. She knew about the Discovery Convention. While open to all magical disciplines, it was the largest showcase for polymakers in the world, and next year it was to be held in Oxford. Magician inventors of all backgrounds went to present their creations and share their knowledge. Scientists could get grants, and magicians could make their names known, just as Magician Pratt had done. Would Magician Pratt let her go? She'd need to watch her tongue more around the family if she wanted that. She turned another page to see a black-and-white picture of a familiar dark-haired man with a receding hairline and a mustache. The style of his jacket was a magician's uniform. The caption beneath read, Magician Roscoe Azell, Polymaker. She racked her brain for a moment before name, photograph, and memory collided into one. He was the man she'd spoken to on the train, the one who had directed her to the wrong station. Alvi turned her gaze to the article. Seemed Magician Azel was experimenting with using color-changing plastic for thermometers. Fascinated, Alvi read the article to its end, but it appeared no solid breakthroughs had yet been made. Alvi hummed to herself. She wanted to learn the spells the polymaker was tinkering with. She heard the door to the polymery creak and opened her own door with her foot, spying Magician Praff in his work clothes. She grabbed the magazine and hurried to meet him. "Have you seen this, sir?" she asked, holding up Discovery Today. He planted his hands on his hips. "Yes, I have, and I wanted you to see it, too. Find anything interesting?" "All of it is interesting. Telephones, thermometers, the Discovery Convention." Magician Praff snapped his fingers. "That is a wonderful convention. Coming to England next year. Certainly an excellent opportunity for an apprentice." Alvi squeezed the magazine in her hands. "Truly, we'll go?" "I try to go every year," Magician Praff said, though the excitement in his voice wavered. He gestured to the lab ahead of them, where Alvi had her lessons, and led the way to its heart. "You presented the Imagidome at the 1904 convention," Alvi said. He had not discussed his most popular invention with her yet, and she was hoping he'd do so now. He smiled and nodded. "So you've heard of it?" "Anyone who reads has heard of it," he chuckled. "Kind of you to say. A lot of work went into it, and it was received well." Received well? It had been the star of the convention. It was said the bundle of spells created a feigned reality, and that a person could step into the Imagidome and feel as though they were somewhere else completely. "And this year?" "I made some adjustments and presented it again. I impressed a few, but..." They reached the large, granite-topped island in the lab, and Alvi took a seat on one of the three stools tucked against it. "Well, I admit I've nothing to present for the convention in the spring. I'm in a bit of a rut. Our craft, it's so new, and there are so many leaves to be overturned, but I've been unable to discover anything new or reinvent anything old. I'm hoping that reviewing the basics with you might lead to an idea or two. I'm sure you'll think of something. The convention is still months away." Today was September 26, and if Alvi remembered the advertisement correctly, the convention would be on March 19. That was 174 days away. How many lessons would Alvi have in 174 days? Right now she averaged 2 lessons a week, and there were about, 25 weeks until the Discovery Convention. 50 lessons. Surely there would be something in there to spur Magician Praff's creativity. And she learned 2 to 3 spells per lesson, so she should know. Let's see, how many spells by March? "Alvi, are you listening?" Alvi perked up, noticing the lab around her as if awakening from a slumber. No, I'm sorry. I was thinking about the numbers." "What numbers?" "Nothing important," she smiled. Smiling usually helped alleviate any distress caused by her tendency to drift into her thoughts. Magician Praff leaned his elbows on the stone countertop. "As I was saying, I'm sure some more study would be good for both of us. I need to think outside the box, and for now you need to think within it." He straightened and moved to one of several drawers arranged beneath his lab equipment, vials and tubes Alvi still hadn't learned to use, and pulled out several ruler-shaped bits of plastic. He set them before Alvi. "I thought today we could learn some shaping spells. Take one of these. Yes, there you are. Now, with shaping spells, you have to use the soften command first, else the plastic will just shatter, like so." He concentrated on the plastic in his hands and said, "Curl." The plastic shuddered and split into 3 uneven pieces. He made a point of looking at Alvi before picking up a new piece. "Soften," he commanded, followed by "cease." "We don't want it too soft, else we'll just have a mess. Curl." The plastic twisted like a pig's thickened tail. "Harden," the polymaker said, and the plastic stiffened under his fingers, cementing its new shape. And there you have it. You try it, and then I'll show you how to adjust the tightness of the curl. Alvi did as Magician Praff instructed, pleased to see her curl resembled his on the first try. The plastic tingled slightly under her fingers, as all plastic did since her bonding. Most excellent. Now you can make a tighter curl by saying just that. Tight curl, tighter curl, tightest curl. That last one hardly allows any space between the loops. You must say the modifier before the command, or the plastic will simply curl into its usual shape and ignore the rest. The softer the plastic, the tighter it will curl. You'll need to practice to get used to it. Alvi nodded and wrote down his instructions. For straightening, a quick question. Go ahead. When will I learn about color changing? That seems basic enough, doesn't it? You see, the magazine talked about using color-changing plastic in thermometers. Magician Praff chuckled, but his expression didn't seem humorous at all. Oh, yes, Magician Ezel's work. Alvi studied his face for a moment, trying to determine if the displeasure was with her or not. Do you know him? Oh, Magician Ezel and I are well acquainted. We're, well, sort of rivals, you could say. At least he would say as much. Rivals? Really? Had the mistake on the train been intentional? Hadn't Magician Ezel said Alvi would be disappointed with Magician Praff? Magician Praff pulled up a stool and sat. He laced his fingers together and rested his chin upon them. Because polymaking is so new, it's not flooded with magicians. Not yet, and most polymakers are not incredibly experienced either. It's easy to view the expansion of the discipline as a sort of race, a contest to see who can discover what first, who can earn the most merits. Alvi grinned. Exciting. Some may think so. You don't? The polymaker's lip quirked. Ah, well, I do try to play the humble scientist, but yes, I think it's exciting. If I didn't, I wouldn't be so concerned about the discovery convention. I don't know of any polymaker as renowned as yourself, Magician Praff. Alvi pushed her glasses up her nose. If you don't mind my saying so. He smiled. I don't mind, but problems arise with the competition. 2, 3, even 4 polymakers could pursue the same theory and end up creating similar inventions or discovering the same spell. Whoever registers theirs first gets the glory, meaning all the hard work the rest put into reaching the same end is wasted. It can build bitterness between men who were once colleagues. She processed that. Like Magician Ezel. A nod. Like Magician Ezel. He and I have similar interests, and our paths have crossed on multiple occasions. I think I dropped the coffin into my grave when I presented the Imagidome at the Discovery Convention 2 years ago. Alvi drew her brows together and waited for him to explain. Magician Praff pressed his palms into his thighs. Both Magician Ezel and I, and another fellow named Smith, were pursuing possible applications of visual cues for plastic. The year I presented the Imagidome, Magician Ezel had created a sort of enchanted kaleidoscope, something very similar in theory to the Imagidome, though the visuals were made with a single tile and changed between 3 pictures when the scope turned. I'm afraid he was overshadowed. Alvi frowned, trying to imagine herself in such a predicament. That must have been disappointing. But yours was the better invention. You transcribed a single image over hundreds of tiles, with movement and everything. A weak smile pulled on his lips. Yes, and I dedicated enough time to it that Charlotte threatened divorce. Alvi blanched, but Magician Praff only chuckled. We're all well now, don't you worry. But once you become a leader in your field, there's an enormous amount of pressure to stay that way, an increasing number of people who want to take the lead from you. He let a long breath out through his nose. Let's just say Magician Ezel has not yet learned the art of subtlety. I suppose he's trying to make these thermometers his next great jump, but from what I know of the thermodynamics of polymers, it won't work. Not the way he wants it to. He hasn't displayed anything particularly grand for some years now. I wonder if he's becoming desperate. Alvi straightened in her stool and grabbed a piece of plastic from the stack. Well, Magician Praff, I am ready to learn. I'll help you discover something new. That's the whole reason I chose plastic, you know. The chance to discover. A smile warmed the polymaker's face. Glad to hear it. In that case, let's cover straightening. Then, if that quick mind of yours has space for it, we'll go over the steps for color alteration.